San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. We are heard free on iTunes, and if you stream live on 760KFMB.com, you can hear us there. And also all the podcasts are at iymoney.com. Now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a best-selling author. He's an accomplished long-distance runner. And he's a family office expert advising high-net-worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I am marvelous, Joe. Good to be here.
Hey, you had quite a week. Now, last week you had the night off. Tell us a little bit about what went on at Salk Institute.
Oh, Robert Redford was in town, and he was showing a preview of a 26-minute piece he did that's going to be part of a larger film called Cathedrals of Culture. So he did a 26-minute piece on the soul of buildings, specifically the soul of the Salk Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And really neat piece because three research scientists were featured talking about how it is to work there and how that most, you know, that amazing architecture that was developed by Louis Kahn and, of course, Jonas Salk. Fits into the creativity that's involved in doing scientific research and, of course, where it's situated, just so physically beautiful on the bluffs overlooking the beach there in La Jolla. So he previewed this thing for a rather small group. I don't know how I got in, but it was really neat. But of all the funny things, who should show up? Cameo appearance by Al Gore. So I'm sitting there with Robert Redford and Al Gore.
Trying to horn in on everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Did he say anything, by the way, or no?
Al Gore didn't say anything about the movie, but Robert Redford spoke about, you know, what was behind this movie.
Yeah.
And the basic premise is that there's very few buildings in the world that actually have a soul, that actually speak to people about things that are meaningful. And the Salk certainly has done that, not only with its amazing architecture, but the amazing research and things that have come out of there.
Of course, the main thing is to help inspire some imagination and discover some new things, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Good.
So it was a fun evening, and the food was really good, too.
You don't want them drifting off looking at the waves. I mean, come on, get some solutions going.
Exactly. Pamplemousse brought some food over, so that was really good.
Anyway, well, while you were over there, I had a great time with the CEO and the chairman of the Board of Trustees of the Maritime Museum. That was an interesting show. And by the way, speaking of interesting shows, later this month, next week, we're interviewing Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, who was the right-hand man to General Colin Powell. We'll see what he has to say. Always controversial and bright, but quite an interesting background.
I can't wait.
But we have two VIPs in studio tonight, and the very first one is a venture capitalist. I know the name of the show is It's Your Money and Your Life, and money is always in quotes. It could be, you know, art or health. But tonight it is wealth, and it's about money. It's about big money because this gentleman's involved with a large $200 million venture capital fund, forging a partnership between San Diego and China. And he's been at it quite a while, so we're going to get into his history and background. His name is Tom Gephardt. Tom, good evening. How are you tonight?
Tonight? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
yeah, it is.
I got it now.
It's not quite dark yet, but it's getting there.
Well, it's airing at night, folks. So we.
Yeah.
Anyway, how you doing, Tom?
I'm doing very well.
Yeah,
thanks.
So you've been in the venture capital game quite a long while. You wanted to start, give us a little history on yourself, and then we'll get into the current situation?
Well, Joe, basically we were the first ones in San Diego and Orange County in 1980. So we've been investing here ever since that time.
Huh.
What was the name of your original firm?
Ventana. It's always the same name.
Okay.
Now, your background, Tom, before you even got into venture capital, were you an engineer or, you know, just give people a little bit of an idea of who you are?
I'm a boy wonder engineer at Hughes Aircraft.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And born and raised where?
In Dayton, Ohio. By the way, that was, you know, the guy that flew that airplane, you know, Orville and Wilbur Wright.
Yeah. Right. That's why they call him the Dayton Flyer.
Yeah, that little scooter.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So went on to get an engineering degree where?
At USC.
U.S. where?
USC.
Joe, you have to ask what USC is? Come on.
I didn't hear the C part. Okay. All right, so the Viterbi School of Engineering as opposed to the, yeah.
Okay. A local man who's made a couple of fortunes.
Yes. Well, he's pretty brilliant, too. So.
Yes.
But, all right, so you got your degree there, and then what happened after that?
Well, I was recruited to go on a spacecraft program at USC, and that was a great experience. I mean, in fact, I started out at USC as an architect and decided because of the John F. Kennedy program and going to the space, I switched.
Huh.
So that's how I got into engineering. So.
That inspired a lot of people, I guess, to get into the space.
Yes, and that was a great time to be an engineer because we one of the few times we were in high demand.
Are you kind of disappointed that NASA's kind of reducing the space presence now or the program, or is that going to come back? I mean, obviously, a lot of people think, like Stephen Hawking thinks, we better find another planet someday.
So we can screw that one up, too?
Well, you see inklings, but with Elon Musk around, he'll solve all those problems for us.
Huh.
And the SpaceX program.
Did you see he just... Made all his patents on his technology. He made them open source now.
Right. I think that's a great move. Also, to stimulate the industry.
Yeah,
because
people.
One of the reasons I don't buy one of these cars is I don't want to fool around, kind of organizing my trip around stations.
So now, in 1980, you launched a venture capital company, and what were some of your early successes back in the day, and maybe some of the frustrations and challenges as well, and how is it different from then and now?
Well, when we first started here in San Diego, we were the first one, so we had pretty much carte blanche, and so we looked at the biotech, we looked at the medtech, and we also did very early on a company that went public and was sold last year. It was called Cymer Laser, and it was a major hit for us and a major investment.
CYMER. I mean, that they were
C-Y-M-E-R.
Laser technology. They were
they use their laser technology to imprint the lines and the signals and the capacitors and the resistors on the silicon wafer, basically.
Huh.
So it was a real breakthrough.
Huh. Interesting.
And right from the university, by the way. So it was very early on. I mean, they were very young and.
So
two scientists.
Their founders came out of where? USC or where?
No, local. UC San Diego.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Another,
how about that?
Another Irwin Jacobs story.
UCSD, Joe.
My gosh.
Every show we do has something
last
new.
Last week now, the CEO, Dr. Ray Ashley from Maritime, he's UCSD. We've had a ton of guests. They just seem to be coming out of UCSD. It's amazing.
So was there much competition in that space in the 1980s in the VC world here in San Diego?
Well, no. It was in a semiconductor space. It was pretty. It was very unusual that he had the clarity of vision to do that. But the real hot market at that time was the biotech industry,
of course. Yeah.
And we were the first investor, and I don't know if you recognize the names, but they've all been sold. But like Aggaron,
I heard of them.
So we were the first investor there. We were the first investor in Corvus and Conji and Maxim Pharmaceutical. And we did about 20 biotech companies here.
Wow. Is that always the goal, to try to get them absorbed by a larger operation at some point? Or?
Yeah, one of the challenges of our industry is that, you want to create liquidity for your investors. So when you walk into an investment, you're looking for an early rational exit. Which could be in M&A or mergers and acquisitions, or it could be an IPO. Either one of these two channels or pathways were the way to create liquidity for our investors.
So have you ever just done a tally on how many companies you've worked with or over the years? It must be quite a number.
Oh, well, the ones that we looked at, we used to look at about 1,000 a year.
Wow. Anyway, folks, we have to take a little break. We'll come right back with Tom Gebhardt of Ventana Venture Capital right after this. All right, we are back with Tom Gebhardt of Ventana Venture Capital. And Richard has a question about his China deal. So ask away, Richard.
Yeah, Tom, the market's definitely changed in the VC world now that we're in a global economy. I know you're now partnering with some folks in China. Can you describe what's going on there and the fact that now we can access capital from all around the world for even what we're doing here locally?
Well, let me start that China has a very can-do attitude. and they're looking for the kind of companies that are here in San Diego. They're looking for partnering with, you know, semiconductors, biotech, medtech. They want it all. And they have these mammoth parks, these technology parks. Mm-hmm. That's the buildings are already there.
Right. I know they've already built the infrastructure, so to speak.
But, Tom, where did you get the vision and idea to nurture a deal between China and San Diego?
Well, let me start by saying that all of our funds have been cross-border. So all of our capital has been raised from mostly non-U.S. Sources of capital. The first one was Scandinavia, then it was Thailand, then it was, you know, Mexico. I mean, then it was Santiago, Chile, and Brazil, and Japan.
So you're like Willie Sutton. You go where the money is.
Oh, no, yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. You know, when I first started the firm, I said to myself, you know, because in the late 70s, there's hardly any venture capitals anyway.
Yeah.
So I had to create my own model.
Well, there you go.
And so the model was very, very precise to me. And I had friends in Europe. And so all of our first money came from Scandinavia. Huh. So I used to go to Scandinavia every month.
So now this deal, and I guess you're involved with Malin Burnham and China. And what is this all about, this $200 million drive?
Right? The $200 million was as a result of me reading. I don't know many other countries in the world that has a very comprehensive business plan. China has a five-year, mm-hmm. and this is their 12th five-year plan. And their five-year plan looked like the profile of my business plan and the companies that were being created here in Orange County and San Diego. So basically, I mean, it was a perfect fit for us.
Huh.
And so that's the reason we went to China and focused. And it took me a couple of years to find the right partner and the right relationships. And, you know, so, you know, like I've been back and forth like
that. And the whole goal is to launch about 10 or 15 companies in San Diego.
That is correct.
And have them have a presence in China as well. Is that the idea?
Well, yes, we'll create divisions. They'll be wholly owned divisions of the company we invest in. And those companies then will expand in intra and outbound of China in the Pan-Asia area. So, I mean, we're really motivated because the needs are there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, medical products and biotech is way on their priority list.
So,
and that's too big.
Anything on your radar in terms of what companies may be forming? What kind of technologies or anything specific? Is it going to be something for heart disease or anything like that? Or don't we know yet?
No, you know, we have on our internal sheets, because we don't want to talk about companies that we're just looking at yet, but it's all of the above. It's cardiac kind of companies. It's
obesity, probably. Yeah.
Obesity, diabetics. I mean, and China needs them all as important as we do. Mm. And they have 1.3 or 1.4 billion people.
Yeah.
So why did I do this? It's called scalability.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we want to scale our products.
Mm-hmm.
And what that allows us to do, it allows us to be an early exit, or we get to IPO sooner, or we get to a major transaction sooner that causes liquidity for our investors.
Basically. Outstanding.
Are you going to be partnering with talent, too, in terms of talented people in China getting active?
Oh, yeah. Well, we already hired three people, basically, there to search for our, you know, companies that are compatible to mm-hmm. this kind of industry.
Sure.
And as we're marching forward, we'll actually put them together.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely, without question.
Good.
Outstanding.
Because in China, you need to look somewhat like Chinese. I mean, here I am, you know, from San Diego. By the way, they like that. I mean, they like the fact that we're in this region. We have a great network
mm-hmm.
here out of the university. So that's a big plus.
There's a lot of collaboration. I remember going to Qualcomm, I guess, a Chinese firm collaborated with Solar Turbines to build a new turbine for one of their buildings with this new technology to recapture the heat and a big energy saving. CEO came over and appeared and couldn't even speak English, but it was a pretty wonderful event to see that kind of collaboration. So I guess we have a question about the investment fund that he is.
Well, let me just share with you.
Tell us about the fund.
When I formulated or made a decision to move forward on a China fund, and then Malin, of course, is one of my original investors in mm-hmm. our first funds. So I've known him since 80.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we decided that we would have a kind of a participation local fund, mm-hmm. a companion fund, mm-hmm. where we involve people that can want to be part of this process because they can help their own companies. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to introduce them to mayors and governors and the federal groups in China. I mean, because they'll be our investors. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, you know, like China Mobile could be an investor of ours there. The major China pharmaceutical companies would be in. So we'll have strategic, passive, government, and business. Wow. So we'll have an eclectic mix, all driven around our sponsor there is the mayor of Dalian, Dalian. Well, and we like Dalian a lot because it's a great place to live, guys. I mean, by the way, my first visit there, it reminded me a little bit of the Del Mar area, the coastline.
Really?
And they have white beaches and... It's kind of the hideout of the wealthy people.
Really?
To have their little compounds in Dalian.
Outstanding. How far is that from Beijing or Shanghai?
45 minutes from Beijing.
There you go. Wow, not bad.
and it's on a little peninsula. Huh. So it's all by itself.
Clean. Golf and the whole thing?
I could show you the pictures.
They don't translate well on radio.
You all want to come with me.
I think we'll hop one of the planes with Tom here and check it out.
We'll do that. Yeah.
Well, Richards works with a lot of high net worth families, so, you know,
another
cup of coffee couldn't hurt.
We do.
Or a cup of tea, for that matter.
A cup of tea.
Although Richard doesn't drink caffeine, but...
I don't drink coffee.
But for the right deal, maybe...
the tea's good, though.
Tea's good, though.
For the right deal, Richard, you might force yourself on a cup of a green... Maybe? No?
Who knows? So, Tom, what's been the biggest change in the venture capital world since you got into the business 30, 35 years ago compared to now? Is it technology? Is it the fact that we're now a global economy? What is it?
Well, it's actually filling... I mean, if you were a company, you need to have a global plan. Mm-hmm. I mean, one, you want to get to the goals sooner... And that but the global aspects of it is you can move your products faster and put them into the right in the stream, and you can do it with relationships that you wouldn't normally have. But through us, we're the integrators of Chinese know-how and their Chinese capital. And as Mainland says, we're like it's one of the few funds that's circular. Mm-hmm. So in other words, we raise the money. The money is reinvested here. And then when we take the company there, we have all the friends help us there. So mm-hmm. it's like an insurance policy.
Right.
Well, I asked Madeline Burnham.
Is that clear?
Yeah. It's like an annuity.
I asked Madeline Burnham enterprise are you most proud of all the things you've been involved with? And he immediately responded, the Sanford Burnham Medical Research Institute, because of all the millions of lives it affects in a positive way.
Well, you know, and the mayor wants us to bring they want us to create an innovation institute there. They want us to, because what they don't do, and they know they don't do it, they're not original innovators.
Sure.
They're process innovators. But, I mean, I could envision a Burnham Institute mm-hmm. There in Dalian. Hmm. And or standalone major hospitals. You know how many people come to America for their healthcare out of China?
How many?
It's tens of thousands.
Yeah, it's tens of thousands a year.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's a big deal. So if we could have standalone hospitals... standalone hospitals for cardiac conditions and orthopedics and those kinds of things. It would be a great opportunity.
Okay, we have to wrap right there, Tom. But thanks so much for being our guest, VentanaVC.com, right? And we'll be right back with more after new sports weather. Thank you, Tom. We'll be
having you. Thank you.